right now on VFN TV. Did you know people who actually claim to follow Jesus can become blind to Jesus? Well, Nathan Moores and Eric Gilmore, we're going to talk about specifically how people can become blind to Jesus. Crazy, right? And is there any ramifications for putting Jesus second or last? We're going to find out right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Think about this. How can we become blind to Jesus? Like we can't see Jesus. Or how does prioritizing Jesus first, second, or last in our life? Is there any ramifications? Well, guess what? Eric Gilmore and Nathan Moores are discussing this very thing. And this interview is so powerful. But first, before we go, listen to this question as they're asking the question is, how can someone become blind to Jesus? Pretty important, right? You got to recognize Jesus and follow him and be the Lord of your life. Well, think about Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, where Jesus is revealing, speaking about his church. And he says, you know, you say, this is people saying, I am rich. I have adequate wealth. I do not need anything. But they don't realize that they are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Think about that. People perceive that everything is okay, but Jesus is saying it's not okay. You've literally become blinded to what I'm trying to tell you. You're not, you know, that they're thinking like I'm wealthy, I have no need of anything. And he's saying, no, you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So we understand by this that we can be blinded to Jesus. We could totally miss him. You know, deception is what we think we're doing was right. Deception is what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, he says, the longer a person is deceived, the thicker the veil gets before their eyes for them to see, the harder it is for someone to convince someone that they're deceived. That's a very dangerous place to be able to see, to be. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 24, he talks about great deception will come upon the land, that people, this is at his coming when the final judgment is happening and people will be deceived. And he said, even the very elect could be deceived if it were possible. Even the very elect would be deceived if it were possible. And so you think about this. You think about this. Jesus is saying, you know, in his word that, you know, you are blind, speaking to the church of Ephesus. And so we want to see and explore with Nathan Moores and Eric Gilmore as Nathan is asking the question to Eric, how could someone become blind to Jesus? Let's go there now.
I was just thinking then of the scripture in Revelation when the Lord says, you know, you have all these things, but you are blind, naked, wretched.
Yeah.
You're blinded to me. You've lost your first love.
Yeah.
He says, come to me, by eyes all that you may see. How do we get blinded to the face of Jesus? How do we get blinded by religion? Talk to me about truly rediscovering our first love again, yeah, and finding Jesus, the one who it's all about.
Well, I can only say from my own life, really, that I fail to see him when I add to him. The more additions, the more is subtracted. So if I stay set, fixed upon him and him alone,
yeah,
then I'm in simplicity and in rest. The more I start to add to him, the more I'm unable to see him. It's Paul's cry, I determined to know nothing among men but Jesus Christ crucified.
Yeah.
He's fearful about one thing, that they would add to the simplicity of Jesus. And this is the sole legitimate fear of the apostle. Don't add to Jesus. It's 2 Corinthians 11:3.
Yeah.
Paul's ambition was to know one thing. It's this man, Christ Jesus. It's the add-ons, man. The additions, even good additions, that so often steal our gaze and our attention away from him.
So often steal our gaze at their attention that we do this do Jesus. Think about this. I believe this program, if you've been just kind of wandering aimlessly, if you've been, you know, just burnt out and you're just trying to, what's wrong with me? Maybe you've become blind to Jesus. You left your first love. I love what Eric said when he says, you know, how I could describe this. He says, describe it this way. I fail to see him. I fail to see Jesus when I add to him. The more additions, the more that is subtracted. That is so true. And you can find yourself, there's things that God wants us to do. I mean, he doesn't want you to stop being a father to your children, to stop being a wife to your husband, etc. You know, but there's things that we can add that we don't need to be there that can distract us from God, distract us from paying attention to him. And that, you know what, if the enemy can't take you out and you love the Lord, what he'll do is he'll try to put so much on you can't even bear, and he'll just start throwing things at you, and you're just putting more stuff and more stuff and more stuff, you know, on your plate, so you just crash under the burden of it. When God says, I'm your burden bearer, that's not something that I wanted you to do. And Paul's fear was, you know, as Eric's talking about, his greatest fear was that he talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, for I resolved, I mean, you got to make a point, right? I resolved to know nothing while I'm with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You're talking about the freedom in your life. You can be so free. I mean, so free when you actually determine that this is what you're going to be focusing on. This is it. This is what you're going to focus on. You're going to focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is so important because you can be bogged down. Where we're going, the season we're going, listen, it's Jesus that leads us out. It's him that's walking on the stormy waters that leads us to a place to be able to walk on top of the conditions of our life. And that when we look at his eyes, like Peter did when he's walking on the water, then we can stay afloat of what's going on. We have to keep our eyes because we love him, because he loves us. And I think about Philippians chapter 3, when Paul was writing to the church of Philippi, in chapter 3, verse 10, he's talking about this passion that he had. He says, you know, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus told me to take hold of, that he took hold of me, right? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have obtained all this, but one thing I do. Say that with me. One thing I do. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining on towards what's ahead, pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly, focused on heaven, in Christ Jesus. Listen, this is all this religion and all this stuff's been going on. It's like, that's just distractions. That's stuff being added to. It's subtracting from your personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul was saying, listen, I just want to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we get our eyes off of Christ, when we get our eyes off of him, and we start thinking earthly goals instead of heavenly goals, we start thinking about how other people see us instead of how God sees us, that we're more concerned about following the eyes of others instead of following the eyes of our Lord. And I love what he said right there. Hey, we're going to be right back after this break, but don't forget to comment below. We love hearing your thoughts about what's going on. Intimacy with God, opening our eyes to his presence. Also, don't forget to go to the VFNKB community at vfnkbcommunity.com and join in on the conversation.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
That so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as He has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, this is also powerful. This is him talking about, you know, the greatest sin. Think about this. The greatest sin of the world is to give our attention that's Jesus's. Let me say this again. The greatest sin in the world is to give the attention Jesus deserves to things that are inferior to him. Take a look.
You know, it hit me the other day that the greatest sin in the world is to give the attention he deserves to things far inferior to him.
Say that again, one more time.
Yeah, to give the attention, the greatest sin in the world is to give the attention that he deserves to things that are far inferior to him.
Wow, that's powerful.
So you think about that. Think about that. The greatest sin, look at what Eric's saying right here. You can see it on your screen. This is powerful. The greatest sin in the world is to give the attention Jesus deserves to things that are inferior to him. This is so important. You know, you can actually be serving the Lord. You could be a pastor. You could be a teacher. You could be somebody who just loves God and you're working for God. And you actually can lose sight of God in the middle of the work of God. I mean, Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, people are going to be performing miracles and prophesying and casting out demons. And he says, but I never knew you. Away from me. In other words, we're not known by what we do. It's who we are to him and who he is to us. This is a powerful question that's asked by Nathan Morris to Eric Gilmore. They're pondering this reality. How can this actually happen? How can we be in the work of God and lose sight of God? Let's go there now.
You know, I want to talk to people right now that, you know, we love the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're busy for the Lord. And we're doing great things for the Lord. But sometimes we can get lost in that as well, where we lose sight of Jesus for doing things for him,
right,
rather than unto him.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit
Yeah, we see the perfect picture in Ephesus. They toiled, which means they labored even in the midst of pain, they continued on. They had great doctrine. They could tell who was false and who wasn't. These guys were, they stayed away from sin. Scripture says they had no tolerance for evil. So you have all three of these things, and we would all deem those things to be a successful Christian life. But Jesus says, I have something against you. You've left loving me. And because you left loving me, if you don't turn around and come back to loving me, I take away from you what you think you have. I'll take away the candlestick. It's very important. Jesus doesn't play with this. If he doesn't get the heart, he doesn't get what he wanted. We may think, you know, I got 70% right, 30% not right. With Jesus, 100% is loving him. If there is no love in the heart unto God first and foremost, then everything we do is worthless. G. Campbell Morgan, I know you appreciate him. He said, no amount of activity in the king's service will make up for the neglect of the king. He followed that by saying, any service that doesn't issue out of first love is not recognized by God.
Anything not done out of first love is not recognized by God. What? Breaks isn't that wonderful that God's not religious, that he's relational, and it's about intimate love with him, walking with him. I love what Nathan Morris said when he said we can lose sight of the Lord when we're doing things for him rather than doing things unto him. God doesn't want to, he's not about you seeing what you could do through him. He's about seeing what he can do through us as we follow his lead and we abide with him. And you think about this, it's not about what we can do through Jesus, it's what Jesus can do through us as we abide with him. Isn't that awesome? It's like, are you worn out, tired? Is it because you have been trying to do it yourself and not allowing God to do it through you? I mean, think about it. John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. So the truth is, just like Eric Gilmore is talking about, if it's not done with him, whatever that is, it's not him. He said, every man's work will be tested by the fire, right? And he says, and they'll be saved as one being saved from the fire. All the hay, the wood, and the stubble, what is that? That's actually works and things that some people thought they would do themselves. It's not what God asked them to do, what God was doing through them. And it's like, listen, your life's going to be a lot more pleasing when you get rid of the hay, wood, and stubble anyway. But this is very important. So Jesus is saying, you can't even do this work without me. You have to abide with me. And as you abide in me and my word abides in you, he says, then you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Everybody who's a believer, that's a Christian, they actually desire to spend time with God. Jesus calls that abiding. You know, spending time with God, talking to God, listening to God, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he tells you or impresses on you to do and doing it, abiding. You know, people want to do that, but they don't have a plan. Guess what? We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. A free plan is at iabide.org. People probably from every nation, almost every nation in the world, and we're in, you know, all of them, that have requested the simple abiding plan. Request this plan today and begin to abide with Jesus. Begin to, listen, he's good. There's nothing like more spending time with him, because when you're with him, everything makes sense. But when you're not with him, it doesn't make sense at all. And he's talking about, Eric's talking about the church of Ephesus written about in Revelation chapter 2. This is a powerful church, you would think, right? He's saying right here, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, he says, the angel of the church in Ephesus write, this is Jesus speaking, there are words, it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, this is Jesus, and walks amongst the golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate the wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles and are not, and have found them false. You have perceived and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Sounding good, right? At this point, you're like, yes, that's right. Yeah, we went through some stuff. He goes, yet I have this against you. Can you imagine that? I have this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Do you remember when you first encountered God? Do you remember how awesome that was. You had nothing to offer him, but the reality is just his saving grace, right? And it was so precious. It's so precious. But all of a sudden, you left that first love, right? And he said, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come and I'll remove your lampstand from its place. What? Love's not optional. It's all about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. That Jesus so loved you, so loved the Father, that he laid his life down. How can love be an option for us? It's out of love that we do what we do, what God calls us to do. So Jesus talks about, we talked about the greatest commandment because they're asking him, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Out of all the things that are written, what's the greatest? In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he tells us, shucker, love. Isn't that something? Love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love, 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 right? Love God with all your heart. Love him with all your strength. Love him with all your soul. Love him with all your mind. Even love your neighbors, like, woo, we don't hear a lot about that, do we? It's like, love. It's okay to go this. It's okay to listen. It's okay to say, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe, you know, tells you love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, love is long-suffering. Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When we abide with Christ, we're able to love. Outside of him, we do whatever we do, but it's not him loving through us. God is love. If somebody says they love God, but they don't love their brother, 1 John says, what? They're a liar. How can you say that you love God that you can't see, but you hate your brother? You don't love your brother that you can't see. He says that person's a liar. So love is very important. But understand, everything's been coming against your love. There's so much darkness on the face of the earth right now. There's things that people call love that's not love, but we're talking about God's love, that you have to love in the midst of all this. Matthew 24 says the love of most will grow cold as the day draws nearer. So things are going to be testing our love. So we need to spend more time with God to make sure we're moving in love. So he says, you know, love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. That's important to understand that. And so how do you love God with all your heart? Your heart is your spirit. You're thinking about those that are led by the Spirit of God or sons of God. You're listening to God, and God's spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a son of God, a daughter of God, and you're not quenching God's spirit, and you're loving him with your spirit. You're not letting your spirit be seduced by other things. Love him with all of our soul. Our soul is like our mind, our will, and our emotions, or what we think, what we want, and what we feel. What are you thinking about? What are you feeling, right? How many people are following their feelings? We hear people testify recently before the government saying, well, I felt. That's a feeling. That's not a fact, right? But we have to understand, what are we feeling? What are we feeling? Well, God wants us to have that emotional connection to him. Be feeling and sensing him and his presence and what he's doing. You know, have our will submitted to his will, not my will, but your will be done. Our thoughts to be thinking on him. When you have people that say, all you do is talk about God. That's all you do is talk about God. Hello, 24/7. I am his. He is mine. I'm going to talk about him. He's my favorite topic. If you don't like talking about God, you're probably not going to like talking to me. That's just people who love God. They want to talk about him. And so you think about to love him with all of our mind. What does it mean to love God with all of our mind? You think about our minds. Our minds are what we're thinking about, but also it's like our minds are like movies. You know, we have this movie playing in our head, and you're looking at this movie, and it could be an old movie, but you know what you can do to movies? You can edit them. You can go, I'm cutting this piece out, and I'm putting this piece. I want to play a new movie in my mind that honors God. I want to honor God in my mind. I want to see myself how God sees me, and I want to respond to God in my mind. I want my thoughts about God. Understand this. God knows your thoughts already. You're not hiding anything from God. When God judges the church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2, he says, after he deals with the church that had this false prophet situation going in, he says, then you'll know I'm the God who deals with the hearts and the minds. Listen, he knows what's on our heart and mind already. He's wanting us to give it over to him, to think about it. And the enemy's constantly after our thoughts. I mean, whoever's words you're allowing to come over your life, that's what you're under. So if you're allowing false media, if you're allowing, you know, social media, you're allowing people that don't love God to continue to speak over your life, you're under those words. So it's important to say, I'm going to change my mind by changing this movie. And we talk more about that. You can go to VFN Media and find out more about it. You can see on the screen where to be able to go there. And then to love the Lord with all of our strength. What does that mean? Do you know when you honor God with your tithes and your offerings, what that represents? That represents you went out and worked all week long with your physical labor. You showed up, you built something, you typed something, you created something, you did something. And they paid you for that contract. They paid you for your hours of employment. That represents your strength. And so when you give God your his tithes and offerings during that moment you do that, whenever you do that, you're actually honoring him with your strength. Another thing is you physically, like right now when I'm here talking to you, it takes physical strength to do this. Believe it or not, it does. And I'm saying, God, here I am. I could be doing anything, but I'd rather be here talking to you with all my strength. And so strength is how we exercise our physical body in response to God. God pays attention to everything, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I love what he said when he quoted G. Campbell Morgan. He said, no amount of activity in the king's service will make up for the neglect of the king. Any service that doesn't issue out of first love is not recognized by God. Whoa, is that something, right? No amount of activity in the king's service will make up for the neglect of the king. How many people do you know that says, like, yeah, I'm doing this for you. It's like, I don't even feel like you're even here. I don't feel like we're even connected. I know we're geographically close, but I don't feel we're connected. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that for you. It's like, yeah, but that's Matthew chapter 7 for me, right? When Jesus says, many people are going to say, I did stuff for you. So this is so powerful when you think about how can we go blind to Jesus in the midst of what's going on. We're finding out so much about this. Hopefully we'll have a chance to cover more. If not, make sure you can go to our YouTube channel. You can find out details right here how to go to the YouTube channel. Go to vfnkb.com and click on our YouTube channel. But understand that we're going to continue this conversation until we get it out. You think about it. And I want to ask you a question right now. How are you feeling? Do you feel like you've turned away, you've gone blind to your first love with God, that these words that I'm talking about are almost foreign to what you've been hearing, what you've been doing? It's like, what am I doing? I've been so busy about everything. I'm going here. I'm going there. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But it's all for me. It's not for him. I don't even listen to his voice. He says, wisdom cries aloud in the street in Proverbs chapter 1. He says, but you don't listen. Because you don't listen, calamity is going to come. You're going to cry out for me. I'm not going to answer because you didn't listen. All I wanted to do was talk to you and reveal my secrets to you. That's who he is. He loves you. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants your ear to be attentive to him. You think about this. This is so powerful. You know, the Word of God says, Gospel of John, he says, the Word of God came, light shined in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend that. Nathan Morris is asking Eric Gillmore, how could that happen? How could you be in the presence of Jesus, the light, and how does darkness keep us from comprehending that? Let's take a look.
You know, I really felt as you were speaking then, just to touch on this subject. You know, we read from the scripture where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. What changes our hearts from being able to comprehend him? You know, I know people that quote scripture.
Yeah.
They know more Bible than me and you.
Right.
But there's no life.
Right.
There's darkness. There's no life, even though they're quoting scripture. How do we take quoting scripture and bring it alive into our spirit that it looks like Jesus?
That's so powerful. Have you been around those folks who, like, they just, like a machine gun, just fire scripture at you? You know, they know scripture just causing your head to spin. They just quoting so much scripture. But then it's like dead. It's like the same scripture that brings life to you, what they just did brings death to you. You think about, how could that be? How can somebody be, you know, professing Jesus Christ, but they have no light in them? That's called just being religious. It's like a religious spirit, right? But when there's something about Jesus that you can be in darkness, and some people will actually comprehend, this is Jesus. You know, I had an encounter with Jesus. He just encountered me in a dream, a prophetic dream. It was so powerful. And he was walking, as we walk across the earth, he's walking, and there's a word saying he's going to walk across America, right? Isn't that awesome? But walking, he'll walk amongst his people, right? He that walks amongst the lampstands. Hello, lampstands, right? And so he's walking. By the way, he looked different in regard. He looked like the young girl who painted a picture of him years ago when she was about 8 or something, and she had this encounter with him, except his hair was shorter, his beard was shorter, he was solid, and he's walking just confidently. He's not concerned about what's happening in the earth, and it was just something, right? So I had a chance to just hug him, right? And I just hugged him. I'm like, just holding on to Jesus, right? And it was the most amazing thing. I mean, just your greatest pleasure, your greatest fulfillment, your greatest purpose in life is to love Jesus. And it really is. Not religiously love him, but just to love him with your heart, right? And I was just like hanging on to him like this, and he wasn't like, okay, that's enough. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And other people were around, and eventually I'll let go, and all of a sudden he's walking, and as he's walking, you know, wild things are happening. People are, you know, people that knew him, people that didn't know him, and other people conspired against him. Well, that's what he's saying. The light came into the world, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. When Jesus came into the world, the light of life was in him, and darkness could not comprehend him. I was seeing that take place. And another aspect of the dream that happened, the encounter, all of a sudden Jesus is kind of not laying down, but he's kind of leaning back like this, right? And people were talking, that type of thing to him. He's just listening attentively. He's totally not how a lot of people perceive him to be. He's just awesome and solid. And he's not concerned about all these things people are concerned about. You know, all these news channels that are freaking out all the time. That's not, Jesus is not freaking out. He's God. He's in total control, right? He's in total charge. And so I'm looking back and I'm kind of standing this way toward Jesus, the back, and he kind of looks at me. If I'm looking at you, he's kind of looking at me, and he looks over at me, and he says, and inside I'm going like, man, I just want to hug him again. I want to get close to him again, right? People around him. And he goes, come love me. Oh my goodness, awesome. And I'm like, boom, I was there. And they're just like, I just can't describe how awesome he is. And I thank God for that encounter. And I had another, I can tell you about all of them, but listen, if you've seen the throne room of God, you're going to be grateful for Jesus, because God is holy. God loves you, but he had to have a mediator between us and him, because sin has to be dealt with, and Jesus paid the price for our sin. He died on the cross for our sin. He loves you so much that he died for you. He loves the Father so much he died for you. Father raised him from the dead on the third day, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Listen, loving Jesus, you are called to love Jesus. There's not a greater thing. And when they're talking about this, listen, religion will kill you. It will ride you in the ground. Religion's what put Jesus on the cross, right? It was the Pharisees and Sadducees who worked through the government officials to be able to manipulate people by the government. Hello, we've seen that before, haven't we? And so, but God loved you. God loves you. And so you don't want to leave your first love. When I think about this, that do you know God's love? Do you know God's love? When you think about this, you know, Eric Gilmore is answering Nathan's question when he talks specifically about how can you be in the darkness and not comprehend what's going on. These people that are talking about God and God's scripture, it just seems so dark. Let's hear what Eric has to say.
Yeah, Jesus says in John 8:12, this is the only thing that kind of comes up in my heart, is he says, if you follow me, you will have the light of life. Just like I can't read in the dark, if I tried to read in the dark, it'd be strained, and it'd be very difficult to make out what's going on. But if you turn a light on, I can see. It's his presence.
His presence.
Attentiveness to his presence that causes the scriptures to break open. Commentaries, expositions, they're not heavy enough to break the outer shell of the scriptures so the voice can come out. But his presence alone is heavy enough to crack that outer shell, and his living voice will come out and change the inside of a man. The Bible's the only book that demands the author be present when it's read. It is his presence that opens it.
That's so, so powerful, right? John chapter 8, verse 12. If you follow me, you will have the light of life. You will have it. If you follow me. Are you following Jesus? Were you following Jesus at first, like the church of Galatia? But then he said, who bewitched you? Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Return back. Do I do these things because you actually obey some law or because you believe? You follow me, right? I love he's talking about no commentaries, books, or anything can break through the word. You remember trying to read scripture before you were a believer? It made no sense to you. It's like, what a waste of time, right? It seems so big, seems so, you know, ominous. There's no way I could understand this. But the second you became a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? As a baby is hungry for milk, a believer is hungry for the Word of God, especially a brand new believer wants to get the Word of God in them. But only His presence can crack the code. I like what he said. He says, the Bible is the only book that demands the author to be present when it's read, for it is His presence that opens it. Ooh, that's awesome, isn't it, right? In His presence, you know. I think about Pastor John Kilpatrick's church. It's called Church of His Presence. Once you've been in His presence, you don't make sense to folks because they're going like, don't you want this? Don't you want that? It's like, I just want God, brother. That's all I want Him. I just want His presence. Wherever He is, that's where I'll be. Guess what? He's not a lot of places you think He was, right? And so this is so powerful that it's like, you know, I need His presence. You got to be in the presence of God to be able to see the light, to be able to break open the Word of God. God's Word is living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of thought and intent, even the attitudes of the heart. That's what it says. So you're thinking like, man, God, I want you to speak to me. It's like, get in my presence, get in my word, invite His presence. Say, Lord, I want to be with you, and He will come. Well, think about this. This is another question that was asked. Nathan Morris asked Eric Gilmore, do you think there is a connection between knowing the heart of God and obedience? Knowing the heart, how do I know the heart of God and obedience? Take a look.
Do you believe that there's a connection between knowing the heart of God and true obedience? Because the Bible says that he who loves me obeys my commandments. Talk to me about intimacy with the Lord, seeing Jesus, knowing him.
Yeah.
Is manifested in obedience.
Yes.
That's so important when you think about it. How many people profess a love for God? Not only they don't even know if they're not obeying or not, obeying God or not, because they don't even get in his word. They don't get under someone who's teaching, an anointed teacher or preacher who's teaching the Word of God to help us check ourselves, you know, where we're at, right? And so you think about it, it's like, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. It's not that we get his love because we obey him. It's because we obey him. It's because we love him, we obey him. Our love, it's out of our love that we don't want to hurt him. We want to do what he says. We understand what he's done for us. I mean, you're going to be really disappointed in heaven if you're not hungry for God's presence, because God's presence is totally filling heaven, right? His glory covers the earth. It's all about him. Your destiny is about being in his presence. And if you're not, say, listen, I want to make you the Lord of my life, Lord. I want you. I don't know what I'm doing, but that's what I want. I want you. I want your presence, right? Well, and this is a good question, because much of the church today seems to be like not even talking about obedience. It's like, don't bring up obedience, because if you bring obedience up, then you'll lose your church, right? You'll lose people that are following your ministry. It's like, read the word. Jesus taught specifically about that. So this is Eric Gilmore answering the question, do you think there's a connection between knowing the heart of God, the heart of the creator of the universe, and obedience? Check it out.
Yeah, I believe it's summed up in the two shall become one. It's the loss of your own desires because of his dazzling beauty has taken first place. And you say, whatever you wish, Lord, from me, I will give it to you.
Wow.
Because he's far above even the activities. Even if he says to you, I want nothing at this time. This is my highest delight, to give you whatever you want. And if it right now is just changing diapers, then I'm glorifying God. You know, so I think this is very important for people to recognize that his desires, his wants, his needs, far above our own. This is a sign of first love, as a matter of fact.
Tommy Tenney wrote in his book, God Chasers, he says, God has an amazing idea that church is about him. Isn't that something? Listen, it is about him. The church is actually the ones called out from the world who became sons and daughters of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're not called to be in the world. We're called to be separate than the world. We're in the world, yes, but we're not in the world. We're separate and not doing the things of the world. We're actually doing what Jesus says do. Nothing is bringing happiness outside of God. Men have tried everything under the sun. There's so many things today that people can run after. Visually, medically, emotionally, physically. I mean, it's just amazing what can happen today. And everybody's coming up empty. As a matter of fact, fear and anxiety and stress and depression, it is as highest levels as ever been recorded, some reports are, here on the earth right now. In America, the most blessed country on the face of the earth in regards to economic blessing, and you know that Americans are richer than maybe 70% of the entire world's population. 70%. The poorest person, I believe, the poorest person in America, the poorest person in America is richer than approximately 70% of the entire world's population. But guess what? Americans are depressed. They're fearful. They're anxious. Why? Because you only find the peace that I'm talking about, that Eric's talking about, that Nathan's talking about in God through Jesus Christ. Did you know when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life that it's a commitment? It's such a commitment that Jesus died so you could have that relationship. He died for it. How can we like, think about it. It's like, okay, I know you died for it, but I'm a little busy right now, right? I'll get with you, right? It's like, what? And God had his son die so that you could have that relationship, so he could have that relationship with you. I think it's pretty interesting that Jesus said, listen, if you don't pick up your cross, if you don't deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you can have no part of me. That's not a hard ask. If, in fact, you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you love him, if you want to know his ways, if you want to know his word. But if you've actually been just hanging around the church, religion's kind of hanging around the cross, but Christianity, faith in God is getting on the cross. It's like, God, I'm yours. I'm here for you, right? And so you think about it and say, you know what, Lord? I'm ready to make a decision for you. I want this peace that Greg's talking about. I want this peace that Eric's talking about. I want this peace that Nathan's talking about. God loves you individually, by yourself. He loves you. He created you. You were fearfully and wonderfully knit together in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundations of the earth. You would not have life if he would not have gave it to you. It's up for you to go recognize he is the creator and the giver of all life. And he's waiting for a response from you. As all of heaven looks down and says, all the angels rejoice at one who turns up and says, I'm yours, I'm back, I'm here. That's right. The anxiety, the stress, the pressure. Are you causing people pain in their life because you're trying to get them to act a certain way, to do a certain thing, to cause you to feel better? They're getting aggravated, you're getting aggravated. It's like, even people can't make me happy. All the money in the world can't make me happy. I finally got this stuff and this thing. I finally got the house I wanted. I finally got the job I wanted. I finally got this, and my relationship's falling apart, and my life's falling apart, and people don't know it. I look like I'm all together, but on the inside, I'm just crumbling. I'm crumbling on the inside. Well, if that's you, now's a point in time where you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You say, I don't know what this has been, God. I don't need to know what it is. I know right now I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to make you the Lord of my life. That's what Eric did. That's what Nathan did. That's what I did. And that's what you need to do. You got to make a decision, which means you're getting on the cross. You're saying, I'm all yours. I'm all in. 100%. I am in. He was in 100%. We're in 100%. Guess what? His presence will come into your life and you'll begin to see and it'll make sense, the word of God, and it'll be cracked open because of the presence of God, and God will speak to you through his word in an amazing way. If that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to pray with me right now. Say, dear Jesus, that's right, dear Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I've sinned. I've been worried. I've been anxious. I've been fearful. I'm just in dirt. That's right. Tell him. I'm in this mess. I have sinned, but Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Forgive me, Jesus. Wash me, Jesus. Make me new, Lord. I ask this in the name of Jesus. If that's you, you just made a wonderful choice, the same choice I made, same one Eric made, same one that Nathan made. Welcome to the family of God. If you're saved by faith, not through works, it's literally God saved you. Now you have to say, I want to begin to walk with him. I want you to find out a little bit about my testimony and some ways that you can walk with him at meetmyfather.org. But also, I want you to begin to abide with him. Jesus says, apart from abiding in me, it's not going to work out. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. A lot of people want to do that, but they don't have a plan. But we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. Request your free plan today. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. God bless you and welcome to the family.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.